Church, you've seen, you've heard, you've sung what it's about. Pray with me for just a moment. Lord Jesus, I pray today that we've gathered and we will be actually sprung forward, Lord, in a real way to want to use the life that you've given us to connect other lives to Jesus, to celebrate a full and abundant life that you have given us, Lord. And I thank you that you leave none of us out. You've brought all of us in. And so, God, may we just celebrate for a moment today what you have been doing among us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Guys, I want to thank you all for being here. Thanks for setting your clocks right. If you were coming to the 8 o'clock service, welcome to the 9:30 service. All right? You're here. And I want to start there. Being here is very important because here's what I want you to know today. Jesus is always here. Not just in this location. He is with you in life. No matter what. No matter what. And I want you to hear the good news. If you'll go with me to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. For just a moment, it's not going to be as long as you think either. For just a moment, I want to go over where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. And it's encapsulated in the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was close to Jesus. Martha, Mary, his sister, and Lazarus, they had hung out more than once. They had had dinner. It was Mary whose tears touched the feet of Jesus and whose hair had wiped the feet of Jesus. It was an intimate relationship. And Lazarus was more than a friend to Jesus. He was someone who Jesus hung out with. He had dinner with him. They discussed life. They were friends. Lazarus has fallen sick. Now here's what I want you to hear right off the bat. We all have a sickness. How many of y'all realize that? We all have a sickness. This is what why we do what we do. And if you're a guest today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to know where you are. We want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. He wants to forgive you and you don't have to stay where you are. That's the good news, okay? You don't have to stay where you are. If you don't get anything from Jesus Christ, you need to hear Him very clearly on this. You don't have to stay in your present situation. Joe Hunt, you've been here longer than I have. What do you think, Joe? You and Doris were here before I was with 30 other people. And here's what I want you to know today. Jesus Christ brings dead things to life. Yeah. And Joe, they said the church was dead here, didn't they? 17 years ago, they said there was no hope. No way Hillview Heights would change. Sheriff, you've been sheriff here since Noah ran through this area. And Peanuts, what'd they say about this church? You were in the community, it's what? It is dead. It's over with. Hold on. How many said that about you? Didn't anybody say that about you? They'll never change. They'll never get better. They can't change their life. They'll always be that way. They can never see what everybody else can see. That's a lie. God changes things. Just kind of look at your neighbor and say, He'll change you. Change you. Jim Hazel had his hand up. Jim, I'm picking on you for a minute. I love you. Jim, you came from a side of town, didn't you? Was it called the rough side of town? Jim, there's a lot of arrogant, snotty people that would say, those folk. Y'all ever heard people talk like that? Yeah. You know, those folk. You know what? Jim came from a rough side of town. You've been married how long to your beautiful wife? 41 years. Now they said, hold on. They said Jim was too rambunctious. They said Jim been in too many fights. They said that won't last. Jim, anybody ever tell you that won't last? They won't last. And Janet's going, yeah, I heard that. But in Jesus, things turn different. Now here was the pronouncement. Lazarus is sick. Martha and Mary are worried. Nothing can change this situation. And I want you to hear the first good word to Hillview. Everybody's welcome. And we already know everybody's got a problem. So don't come into this church. If you're a guest today, don't come in here and think this. Oh my gosh, I have just done too much to ever get better. One of the things I enjoy about preaching is I don't look like a preacher. Or I hope I don't. I hope that hadn't happened in 17 years. Used to in the days, I used to hang out in the parking lot and I'd just meet people in the parking lot. And I remember meeting this old boy one day. It's about 10 years ago and I probably looked less like a preacher then. And at least I was thinner than most preachers then. And so I was in the parking lot and this guy looked at me and he said, do you go to church here? I said, yeah, try to. And he said, "You reckon I can go in there?" I said, "Can you walk?" Because I said, "We'll roll you in if you can't. We take you in any way you can get in." He said, "I'm an alcoholic." I said, "No problem, middle section, 500 others." He said, "You're serious?" I said, "This church is about people coming as they are so Jesus can make them better." I said, "Come on, I'll sit with you." So we sat down and we had a big time. He said, "This music stuff's pretty cool here." I said, "Yeah, it is pretty good." Now, he was a little freaked out when preaching time came up and I stood up to preach. And he looked back at a couple of people and he goes, "He's the preacher?" He said, "He doesn't look like a preacher, talk like a preacher, act like a preacher. I don't know how to do that, but I don't want us to look like a church or act like a church. I want us to act like Jesus." And here's what Jesus said. When we get in a situation that looks impossible, He'll speak these true words into it. Look what He says. "This sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, He gave them a promise right off the top. He said, "This sickness," Raj, He said, "this sickness will not end in death." Now, He didn't say there wouldn't be a sickness that ended death, but He said, "This one will not end in what?" Now, hold on. These are the words of Jesus. And if you notice, Jesus will sprinkle you out some words in an immediate situation that are words that apply for eternity. Same thing about sin. Sin is a sickness, but in Jesus Christ, it will not lead to what? Death. Here's what I want you to understand in Hillview. We haven't changed anything because we're never going to change anything. But we're going to let Jesus change us. The reason this church is always changing is because Jesus is a come forth God. At first, I kind of got angry about having to spring forth this morning. I wanted to go up there and have a talk with George Bush. Because this was our Sunday. And he used to spring forward 3 Sundays after this one. But no. I figured they found out Hillview Heights Church was having Celebration Sunday. And so they wanted to mess us up by springing everybody forward. I want you to know, if it wasn't for my wife, this would have been my 8 o'clock service. I forgot all about it till last night. All of a sudden the news, it said spring forward. I said, "Honey, that's tonight." I mean, I'd have walked right in the 9 o'clock service going, "Let's hug off." But you know what I got to thinking about it? Maybe this is the Sunday to spring forward, because really the essence of this church is to come forth, spring forward. Be brought past your past. Can you remember that? Jesus brings us past our past. But He allows us to have a past, and we have a sickness that no longer has to lead unto death. Well, here's what happens. Note this. This is interesting. There's a sickness, but God's going to be glorified in it. Now, how many of y'all are glad to know that really the basic line of following Jesus Christ is that Jesus will be glorified in your existence? Amen. And that's one of the things we try to do. As we live, who needs to be glorified? Jesus. Now, if we just stir that up, isn't it going to be fun to live together? Guess what? If you're going to be married, I think it ought to be exciting. What do you think? So if you're going to be married, who needs to be glorified in your marriage? Jesus. One of the greatest witnesses we give to the world is having an exciting marriage. How many of y'all need to have an exciting marriage? Which is the way you raise your children glorifies God. The way you live your life glorifies God. When people meet you, do what they encounter, does that glorify God? Do they look and go, "Hey man, I want what you got going on." Chris Allen, getting the weather correct glorifies God. Poor Chris, we've had him shook up. He called Keith. I had the kids, Scarborough said, "Well, Chris Allen called and said there's going to be a major storm." I said, "I'm wearing my flip-flops Sunday." But he was right, Chris. I have to repent and confess, and that's healthy. All right? I'm just glad we don't live in Ohio. Now, you ought to, right there's what God thinks about Ohio. He'll dump 2 feet of snow on them. That's where Pastor Jamie's from. That ought to tell you right there. And this morning, not only can they not win a national championship, they can't drive. They're snowed in. Look at here. Jesus said, "This sickness is not going to lead to death, but it'll lead to my glory." And then He said, "We're going to stay 2 days where we are." Then Jesus arrives. I mean, y'all wouldn't like it. I mean, watch this. Jesus would fail pastoral care in a Baptist church. I mean, they've gotten the call, the panic calls, "Lazarus dying." And here's what Jesus does. "We're going to stay here 2 days. Now, y'all be madder than a hornet at me if I did that, wouldn't you? Huh? It's real human anger. Here's what I want you all to know always. God's in charge. And this needs to be a place of freedom. We've already sung, I'm set free, I'll be free, the kingdom of God's coming. Listen to all this beautiful music today. That's the reality of Christ. Be free in Christ. And guess what? Whenever Jesus gets there, that's when He's supposed to be there. How many of y'all get mad when you think Jesus is not on time? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Thank you for raising your hand, because that's true. I do, too. Lord! How many of y'all ever done that? Lord! Where were you? I mean, I say stuff like this. Jesus, why don't you straighten Elizabeth up? How many of y'all ever say stuff like it to the Lord? Lord, you ought to fix them. Huh? As soon as you say it, He goes, well, I'm glad I got your attention. Glad we're in conversation since we're talking about correcting things, fixing things, allowing things to come forth. This is the essence. This sickness will not lead unto death. Dr. Adam, don't you wish Jesus would just tell you that? You're doing a diagnosis and He goes, hey, doc, don't worry. They're going to be really sick, but they're not going to die. Don't you wish you had that certainty? Because you never have that certainty. And I don't ever have that certainty. People, I'll go in their hospital room, they'll go, what's going to happen? I say, well, I don't know. I just know Jesus is here. And since He's here, here's the good news. Anything's possible. Now, that's where it emerges. How many of y'all glad to worship a God since He's here? Since He's here, anything's possible. How many of y'all got an anything is possible Jesus? Even though the sweats break out. Because watch this. I want you to know this is what we got to do to allow the future to unlock. We got to believe what Jesus said. Jesus told the two sisters, this sickness will not lead unto death, but God will be glorified from it. And then we pick it up. Here comes Jesus. They're in a panic. Verse 17. On His arrival, Jesus found out that Lazarus had already been in a tomb for 4 days. Huh. Jesus break His promise? No, He didn't break. Jesus did not break His promise. It's just He's going to do something we've never seen. Now look at your neighbor and go, I've not seen this. Come on, talk to him. I'm not saying this. Come on, whisper it to him. I'm not saying this. How many of y'all realize the impossible could come out of you? How many of y'all are sitting at church and you never thought that happened? No, honestly. I mean, how many of y'all had people, they look you right in the eye and say, I tell you what, you'll go to hell. Ain't no way you can change. Anybody ever have that story? Yeah. Well, Kim, they were wrong. Amen? They were wrong. I bet some of them said, Kim's got a tattoo. Ain't no way she can go to church. I've never found where a tattoo makes any difference on your soul. Now, to put some color on your arm, but it don't change your soul. Having a tattoo don't send you to hell. Amen. Guess what? Not hearing Jesus. Not embracing who He is. What He wants in your life. That'll send you into death. We got a God that says things like this. This sickness is not going to lead unto death. Well, here they come. Guess what? Here comes Mary and many of the Jews. They came to the tomb. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet Him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if You had been here, what? My brother would not have died. Oh, man. I don't know about you, but I've said things like that. Jesus, if You had been here, this had all been... What's the truth? What's the truth? He was there. And I think quite honestly what we struggle with is this. Guess what? Sometimes we follow Jesus and we will experience a physical death. But you see, this sickness does not lead unto death. Now, I want to explain something. Why in the world we have church every Sunday? Why we have big choirs? Why we do crazy things? Why we tell the world they need a relationship with Jesus? Here's the good news. Any human being, just tell your neighbor, anybody. Come on, let's break this down. Anybody. Because guess what? Some of you are here today and you don't feel like you could. You're going, I've drank too many beers. I've sinned too much. I broke all the church rules. Well, here's what Jesus said. All of us have sinned. And I have come so that you can be changed. So that this sickness will not lead unto death. Now check this out. Once we ask Christ to come into our lives and forgive us of all of our sins, we are made alive and brought into eternal life. Somebody tell me when that eternal life starts. Now! So if it starts now, are you going to die? No. You're going to shed. I'm glad to know. Hey, they go down to Kirby. Don't y'all tell them I died. Tell them I shed. Yo, my heavenly body going to be bad. I'm going to be about 7'1 with a six pack. I'm going to eat chocolate cake 3 times a day. I'm going to drink peanut butter and banana milkshakes by the gallon. Six pack. Glorified body. And they say, you on performance enhancers? I'll say, yes, sir. The Holy Spirit has redesigned my body. I don't know why we fear the heavenly body. It's going to look better. You get to eat more and you don't have to exercise all the time. This is a good deal. Now, the body we got, like I see Earl. You know, Earl, he rode with Noah. Did y'all realize that? Earl rode with, he was Noah's co-pilot on the boat. And I see Earl, man. Earl motivates me. I see him in the gym. He's in the, you know, most people his age are in the ground, but Earl's in the gym. And he's on that bike and he's just going. And guess what? But Earl, no matter what, this body's going to what? Shed. Now, that's if you're a believer. Now, if you're not a believer, you're dead. Because you haven't cured the sickness that leads unto death. Because there's only one cure for the sickness that leads unto death. What's the sickness that leads unto death? Sin. It's not cancer. It's sin. Now, cancer might cause you to shed, but it can't kill you forever. Isn't that good news? Now, a heart attack, that'll cause you to shed, but it won't lead you to death. Hold on. Get this. I pray. Elizabeth's daddy, he shed, didn't he? He shed. He lived here. He fought in the war. He gave freedom. He educated people. He was a great man. He's a great man. Guess what? I had to say, see you later, Henry. Because guess what? The good news of Jesus Christ, I'm going to see him again. Because he shed. Because he allowed Jesus to cure the sickness that led unto death. And so that when his body ceased to function, he went on in life. I don't know about y'all, but this is incredibly good news. Because we all got to die. There's not a week in my life that I don't go to the funeral home. Why? It's a large congregation. Guess what people do in it? Shed. Now, I've been to some deaths, but I go to a lot more sheddings. And I like going to sheddings. Because on sheddings, I get to say, see you later! In the name of who? Jesus. Because let me show you what happens. Even when we forget how good and how powerful God is, He's still going to be God. Martha, Mary said, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Then Mary comes leaping out. And they all get down to the tomb. And Mary says, Jesus, if you'd have been here, if you'd have been here, guess what Jesus tells them? He says, I am the resurrection. He didn't say, I'm a way. He said, I'm the way. He didn't say, I was a theory of resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. You know what we worship here at Hillview? We worship the God, Jesus Christ, King of Kings, who brings dead things back to life. That's the church of Jesus Christ. Say, how do you know? Well, just Jesus, man, he ain't shook. Now, he wept. I'm not sure why Jesus wept. I don't know if he wept because his buddy Lazarus was sick or he wept because nobody understood who he was. But he wept. Either way, it'll break your heart. His buddy Lazarus is dead. But I don't think Jesus was weeping a whole lot for Lazarus because guess what? He knew he could bring him back. I think what he weeps for is that we would really understand how much he loves us. Jesus loves us that much. How many of y'all have ever loved something? Your kids will do this to you. You love them so much and they won't listen to you. How many of y'all have ever had that situation? I mean, they just bonehead up on you and you love them and you tell them, hey, you need, you. I mean, you just own them, loving them as a parent, and they just sitting here like this. Just as dumb as a rock. And then you think to yourself, how could they be that dumb? And you call your parents up. And you realize why they are that dumb. Because your parents remind you of another bonehead that was loved so much that went what?
Amen.
Now this, it really, can I break Hillview down to you? We help boneheads listen to Jesus. He loves you even when you don't want to listen. You see, Martha and Mary, they couldn't hear, "I am the resurrection." So here's what Jesus said. "Lord, I want them to know how much I love them." So he gets to praying to the Father. Look at this. He looks at him, he says, "Father, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, and I want them to hear it." Look at verse 42. He said, I knew that you always heard me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me." Folks, here's Hillview. 17 years of Hillview. When we first came to Hillview, guess what? Everybody said, "The church is dead. It'll never come to life." You know what we said? "Jesus Christ wants to save people." Was Hillview built on fancy music? Absolutely not. When I first came here, we couldn't even sing a note. Our music was, it wasn't good. The preaching was horrible. The love of Jesus Christ, though, reigned. We had one message: you don't have to stay dead. And we still got one message: you don't have to stay dead. And God's brought people to life, and man, there's extraordinary stories in this place because Jesus doesn't want us to stay dead. What do y'all think? This is where I get pumped up. I like following a Jesus that gets dead people up. Lazarus, dead. 4 days dead. You know what that means? Really dead. Sucker is not knocked out. He's dead. In the King Jimmy Bible, it said, "He stinketh." You know what that means? Dead. Because anytime you got to encounter death, it stinketh. I'm serious, it does. Death stinks. There ain't no other way to get around death. You lose your loved one, it stinks. You know, one day I'll probably die and Elizabeth will have to live without me. She'll mourn for years about that. I just told her I hope her next husband, got a lot of money. I told her if she marries a dumb one, though, I'm going to haunt her. I'm just going to show up at different times. Say, "Lord, can I go down just for a minute?" We got to be real about this thing. God loves us. He stinketh, he's dead. Now, hold on. I told you what we're going to be about as a church. We're going to continue to be about this. Dead things come to life. Are y'all okay with that? Now, I can't do it, and you can't do it, and we can't do it together. But guess what? Jesus can do it. And I want to breathe that on all the believers in Christ. Watch this. When it comes to dying, nothing can help you but Jesus. Watch this. You can't buy your way out of it. Y'all ready? Hold on to your seats. No government can change your death moment. Even if the government goes, "Get up. Yes, you can." Guess what? You stink it. There's nothing that'll change death but Jesus. Are y'all cool with that? Now, hold on. We carry something really powerful in the Church of Jesus Christ. If we would just release it on each other, we just let it get stirred up, we don't have to stay dead. See, how do I know? Jesus, man, he said, this sickness doesn't lead on to death. Well, he got us to help a little bit. Now, here's the Hillview part. Jesus finally looks and he says, "Remove the stone from the tomb." All of our singing and preaching and everything we do it here, single mothers, oil change, God stock, all the great things that we get to be involved in, they're simply this. They move the stone away so you might hear Jesus. Some of us got some stones blocking us, amen? Literally. Some of you have had some rock mess you up. Mm-hmm. True? It's okay, Sheriff knows already. We've had some things get in our way from hearing the message that brings us to life. And guess what Jesus says to that tomb? He says in a loud voice, it says in the Scripture. He says it in a loud voice. How many of y'all glad to know Jesus could holler? Jesus hollered. I like it. Jesus shouted out. I used to hear this by sophisticated preachers. And they would read, and I said, I'm like, man, you boys don't read the book. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, and they would go, "Lazarus, come out." Man, that ain't the way you do dead. Is it? I mean, these pastors be going like, I just see Jesus in his three-piece suit walking up to the tomb going, Lazarus, come out. No, this is death. Jesus, he yelled, Lazarus, come out. If Jesus had been from the south, he'd have gone, boy, get out of there. Woke him up. How many of y'all have had a shout out from Jesus? Yeah, you need a shout out. Get out of there. Come on. I'm the one that will be glorified. I don't want you to stay dead anymore. Oh, I got to preach just a minute. You and I worship a God. We have a God that loves us. We have a God that's died for us. We have a God that's conquered death in us. We have a God that says, you don't have to stay there anymore. That's Jesus. And guess what? That applies. That applies to everything. Now, here's why I'm in trouble. I always believe in helping poor people. That's been a part of my life. I believe if you're down and out, you need to get up and going. You know why I believe that? Because I got a God that can speak into a tomb where you don't have to stay where you are. Now, this is what I'll never do this to you. I will never be this unloving. I will never throw money to cover up your death. And it hadn't worked. Look at the situation of poverty in our nation. That's a dead thing. Guess what? Do you realize most people that win the lottery are dead broke 5 years after they win the lottery? Guess what that tells me? Money won't make you rich. You know why? Because they dead broke in their head. They're dead broke in their thinking. Guess what? They're dead. And when you throw dead things in a dead life, it'll stay what? Y'all are a sharp congregation. See, money can't bring you to life, but guess who can? How many of y'all need to hear from the words of Jesus come forth? And guess what happened? Now, here's the big deal. When Jesus says, get up, you will get up. Now, you moms may need to use that in the morning. You know, you kids aren't getting up. In the name of Jesus, get out of bed. Some see if they don't jump to their feet. Go to school and may God be glorified. Wives, do it on your husband. When you know he's like, I don't want to go to work. In the name of Jesus, get up. Shave. Come forth. Go glorify what's in you. His name is Jesus. Look what Lazarus did. Jesus said, come forth. The dead man came out. Think about that. When we get saved, what happens? Y'all just wish you just witnessed Clay and Stephanie in the baptistry. When I put them under the water, what did I say? Now may you be dead man come out. We just had a Lazarus moment in baptism. And then I say, now it doesn't take us long or we'd be saying some other things. Say, in the name of Jesus, may you be buried in Christ. And then what happens? Come forth. There's Hillview. We want to let Jesus bury the things that are dead in your life and rise to the things that are possible in life. Now, I believe this stuff. So guess what that means? I believe a kid that has dyslexia a little bit can write a book. Because I know him. I believe a kid that was adopted can have a full and abundant life. Because I know him. I believe that God is with us no matter what anybody else says. Because I know him. I know Jesus. And he said to Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up. He was no longer a dead man. The dead man came out. His hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And then Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Welcome to Hillview. That's the story of Hillview. You come walking in here, wonder if Jesus has saved me. What's the answer to that? Yes. You say, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I've done a lot of bad things. You don't understand. Jesus can come forth in your life. You don't have to die.
There's a sickness, but you don't have to die from it. The sickness is sin, but by the grace of Jesus Christ, we don't have to die from it. And then guess what? How many of y'all are getting better every Sunday? See, once you come forth, then guess what you got to do? You got to get out of those grave clothes. How many of y'all have come forth, but you're still walking in life like this? You just, you know, Lazarus, think about this. This was not a pretty picture. I remember being in the first grade, and they showed the picture of Lazarus. First of all, he's a white boy. I've never seen a white Jewish guy. And we're in the desert, so nothing's clean there. And he's dead. And the picture I saw was a white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Lazarus standing there in a clean robe after he'd been dead for 4 days. Now, who drew that up? Man, he stinketh. I mean, Lazarus needed a shower. Sometimes when we get up and we come to life, we still need a bath. Amen? Amen? We're coming out of things that killed us. We've been hanging around death. Hold on. If I give you that visual, does that change things? When you're hanging around all this sin, what if you pictured it as hanging around death? That changes it, doesn't it? But now sin, Raj, it'll never present itself like that. You know, you've never had anybody say, hey, let's go die together. Y'all never had anybody. You never had them do it like that, have you? They never looked at me and said, hey, Pastor Steve, let's go drink some death together. I never heard that, brother. I heard, now Chad, I know you've never heard this because you stayed in Sunday school all your life. I never heard, let's go down to the establishment and kill ourselves for 6 hours. Did you? Not that you've ever been, I'm just telling you what people do.
Come on.
They say, let's go what? Party. Right now, y'all need to pray because it's spring break. And guess what's going on in Florida? Intelligent young people are losing their minds all across America for a week. Because here's what I have discovered. If you cloud the mind with large amounts of alcohol, you will lose it. Your mind goes numb. That's why I had to be real careful with a guy like me. I didn't have much to go to lose it. And we think that's fun, but hold on, watch this. Some of y'all have been down that road. Now, we got both crafts. Some of y'all going, Pastor Steve, I've been to some pretty fun parties. You ain't old yet. How many of y'all found this? The party catches up. And the party leads to death. Here Jesus calling in. He's letting y'all know. Right now he just called in and said, y'all better listen to that boy. He's telling y'all straight up today, you don't have to die anymore. So Hillview, let me give you the future, okay? Part of the future, you're listening to it right now. Hear it? Let that baby cry. That's good stuff. You moms don't ever worry about your babies crying in worship. I'll out preach any baby ever born. Okay, now watch this. And I want them to wiggle in church. Lord have mercy, they thumped my ears off during church. When I was a little wiggly kid in church, here's what I thought. You go see God, he thumps your ears and goes shush all the time. That's all I knew about God in church. Finally, I read the Bible and I figured out God made me to wiggle and he made you to sit still. He made others to wiggle and he made all of us and he loves all of us and he wants all of us to come forth. Whether we're Lazarus, Mary, or Martha. You see, most people only think Lazarus was risen from the dead that day. I think Martha and Mary were too. Because they realized that only Jesus can bring dead things to life. Hillview, here's our future. And we're in it together. I want to thank you all for your giving. We got to get a facility built. If you talk to any of our leadership, one of the last things that Pastor Steve resorts to is building a building. If you notice, you say, well, how come this ain't happened sooner? Me. I want us to maximize every bit of space. If you've ever been here on Wednesday nights, you'll realize there's no space. We have children having Bible studies in closets. And so I wanted to ask you to give in such a way that our children can come out of the closets. Into a classroom, okay? And so guess what? That facility, because of your commitment to gracious giving, I just want to give you a few heads up and then we're going to get out of here, okay? What's the future of this church? First, you got to go tell people Jesus will bring them to life. Amen? We're about seeing people get saved every Sunday, all across the world. Today there are going to be some people in this service that decide to give their lives to Jesus. They don't have to be dead anymore. That's the good news. We got to get a facility up. Not so we can say we can have a facility, but because you all keep having babies. And I know if I limited you to one child, y'all would have 10 just because you're rebellious. You're just rebellious. Chad, if I said you could only have one, you'd have 20. Beautiful children. How many of y'all glad to know we got children in this congregation? Okay, now let me help y'all. There's two things happening here y'all got to realize. In 10 years, does anybody know the largest senior adult church in 10 years from now, the largest senior adult church in Warren County? In 10 years. You're sitting in it. What do you think about that? Some of you that are grinning, you're it. Just add 10 years to where you're on right now. Where does that put you? Not very old. Watch this. Not that any of y'all ever drank any wine or anything like that. But let me give you a little wine lesson. Wine, the longer it ages, the vintage improves, the aroma improves. So I feel like if we're in the new wine, the longer we stay, the better we get. Amen?
Amen.
So there's going to be a lot of us that, guess what? Guess what? This new facility is not going to have my children in it, but guess what? Before I know it, I'm going to be calling Elizabeth Grandmama. What do you think about that, Grandma? And Elizabeth will be, and I'll be ramming through the house going, y'all need to be quiet. And she'll be going, now don't listen to Pops. He's an old grumpy man. He'll go sit in his chair in a minute. He'll get his remote out. Yeah. And they'll be going just like my two kids. Grandma, can we do that? And she'd be in there begging me to get up and go take them somewhere. That quick. Some of y'all think, oh, I got adolescent kids. It'll be over before you know it. And then you got young adult kids coming in with their spouse wanting to live with you. And you thought it was bad with just them. Wait until you get an in-law to come in on top of that. See all the great things you got to look forward to. No, here's our deal. I'm being a little funny. We're going to build this facility to reach the next generation. The kids. Ages 2 years old. That facility starts when they're 2 years old till they leave high school. That facility will hold over 3,000 children. Packed out. Now, here's what you're fixing to do. You're fixing to affect the lives of 3,000 children plus. I'm in there somewhere, Arnadale. By the time you get 825 in the bottom, I kind of just, 2,500 to 3,000, somewhere in there, depending how we pack it. You ready? For the next 40 years. Now, here's what I'm asking you to do. We got to give a little bit. I'm not asking to kill you. I'm asking you to think about money you throw away. How many of y'all throw away money every week? Come on, think about it. The next time you go to Minute Mart, now I'm not picking on the economy here, but you want to pick up one of them giant king-size Snickers. Now, you really need that. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's going to affect your economy. Just eat a fun size, bite size. Because if you get the giant king size, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to eat it. And then your pant size is going to change. So that candy bar is going to cost you $65. You're going to have to go buy some new trousers. What if you took some of that money and said, you know what? I'm going to invest in the next generation with some of the money that I don't even know where it goes. God, I'd like to just put some of the money that I don't know where it goes in my life into where I know you could put it in your life. And just think about that. Is that cool? Y'all cool with that? Y'all give me that look again like I'm talking about money. I'm not talking about money. I'm just talking about thinking. You can still eat your big candy bar if you want to. But I'm just saying, we got a lot of money that we don't ever use for real good things. I had that in my life. I know we've given Elizabeth and I did that Dave Ramsey thing. Lord have mercy. We were amazed at how much money we had. We had a lot of money. We just didn't even know where it was going. You know, because you get your big daddy candy bar and a big gulper and this and that. Before too long, that adds up throughout the month. And you go, I could have had this. I could have been a part of this. I'm just asking you to think because we're going to get there. Hopefully, here's kind of the plans. May, April, May, somewhere in there, in the right, Dale? April, May is what we're looking at. We'll start this beautiful facility. Okay? And so for a year or so, you got to be real patient. You all have been through this before at Hillview, okay? And don't get all panicked, because when have you ever come to church here? There wasn't some mud flowing somewhere. Hillview Heights and Nashville Airport, we're the same. We keep something tore up and mending all the time. That's because we're growing, okay? Listen, I want your kids to have the best. And that's the next leg of this thing, to invest in the next leg of this generation. Young parents, I want you to know that we're going to do our part, but you also got to connect and start doing your part. That's part of being an adult. Guys, I'm going to tell you a story. It was 30-plus people that held onto this church. They did more than tithe to keep the doors open. In the last 17 years, a lot of people have been touched by a few that were faithful. In fact, God kept His promise. He said, if you plant in good soil and you preach My Word and you believe things can be brought back to life, He said, I'll multiply you 30, 60, even 100 times. How many of you all are aware that you worship in a church that God multiplied over 100 times? Now, guess what? What if He multiplies this over 100 times? So y'all think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I've been living in a church for 17 years. It was multiplied 100 times. God, it doesn't scare God what the zeros are on the end of the multiplication. Which is, we saw 500 baptisms last year. What if God multiplied that 100 times? Give me a good math person. What is that? Huh? 50,000. What if God reached 50,000 people through this church in 1 year? Is it more than that? Who? Give me a math guy. That's a doctor. 500 times 100. What is that? No, it's more than 50,000, isn't it? No, it's 50,000? Good. Hey, do I look like I passed math class? Hey, I know math. If you hand me that in money, I can figure it out, okay? It's when I got to do it in numbers, I can't figure it out. Lo, how many is it? Huh? He don't know. Where's a math person? Elizabeth, how many is it? 50,000? Hold on, what if God reaches 50,000 people in 1 year? What does that do to Bowling Green? Watch this, I'm going to blow you away. We can reach 50,000 and we don't need any more seats. Y'all cool with that? We're not going to build a shopping mall church here. That's just not our style. Watch this. Here's our real gig, okay? I need some of you to start thinking about going to Sunday night. And I need some of you to start thinking about going on and coming on into 8 o'clock. And you know what? Here's the dream here at Hillview. 7 days a week, we're going to be in worship. 7 days a week. I don't know about you, but I've been watching these young pastors and they're knocking it out of the ballpark.
Amen.
You know, I believe Jeff Reynolds will give a guy a run for the money whether he wants to go drink or hear about Jesus on a Friday night. Amen. What do you think?
Amen.
I can go be risen from the dead or I can go get a headache. At least you got a choice in the community. That's the future of this church. So we're going to run it wide open. And you're a part of that. Not just your giving, but you're singing, you're preaching, you're teaching, you're loving, and you're telling people about Jesus. All right, I'm finished. There's the State of the Union. Y'all cool? So what are we going to do for the next 17 years? Barry Lindsay, help people come to life in the name of Jesus. Clear enough? All right, well, let's stand up. We got an opportunity. Let's stand up. Here we go. Altar time. Altar time. Y'all go ahead and grab somebody's hand. Flu season's almost over. Go ahead and grab their hand. That's good. Good. We'll pray right now. Don't give me the flu. Don't give me the flu. Here we go. Listen, listen. It's about us being together in the name of Jesus. You ready? There's some people here today that are going to meet Jesus Christ for the first time. And that's what this whole vision's about. My friend, you don't have to stay dead. And if you've never asked Christ into your life today, you know, you might be a big, cool, tough guy. We've seen a lot of those in the baptistry. You might think, man, I've done too much. You might be just arrogant and think, I'll change myself. You know, have at it. But we're looking at you right now and there hadn't been much changed. Just nobody will tell you. Why not today you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. See what that would do. Lord, I believe you died for me and I believe you live in me. come into me. Some of you need to come. You need to be baptized because you've already asked Jesus to come into your life. Now it's time to step up, step out, and seal the deal. And say, God, I love you enough. I'm going to be baptized in your name. Some of you need to come to do that today. You know what? How many of y'all could just come today and very gently touch this altar and simply say this? God, thanks for a great life. How many of y'all are having a pretty good life? Come on. I mean, it's a pretty good life. It's a great life in Christ. We worship a Jesus that says, come forth. And I'm just going to agree with Jesus today. Come forward. Come forth. So pray with me right now. Lord, what a beautiful day. God, personally, I want to thank you for being alive for the past 17 years. And Lord, I want to honor a lot of my friends that started in this ministry, a lot of my brothers and sisters that are now in the great cloud of witnesses. We honor them today. And Lord, as we go on, we pray for the souls that are yet to be changed because we know that you're hungry to change them, Jesus. You're passionately committed to that. And so God, right now, I pray that you would open our minds and our hearts, and especially our spirits. Okay, if you've never asked Christ to come into your life, listen to Jesus right now in asking, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. I believe you'd forgive me today, Lord. I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin, Lord. I believe you died on a cross and you've risen from a grave. And I believe, Jesus, you are real. So come into my life. See what happens. Just see what happens. Maybe you need to come to be baptized today. You need to say, Lord, I want to make that statement in my life. This altar's open for that. Maybe you need to come and just pray. The altar's open. I don't know what time it is. It's time to come to the altar. And we'll take it from there, okay? In the name of Jesus. Come on, church. This altar's open. Pastors are here to pray with you. Come on, this altar's open. Come on, bring this altar today in the name of Jesus. And let's just pray, leaving this place in prayer, in truth, in hope, in life. Come on, if you need Christ, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on.